bring you greetings again this afternoon in the name of the Lord Jesus. I enjoyed the singing together, enjoyed the children's lesson very much, and the example of fire and the effect that it can have. And I guess another lesson that we could have here this afternoon that nobody mentioned is this whole thing of gossip and the destructive work that it does could be applied to the fumes that we smell. Just about overtakes me. And that's the way it is when people are hurt by gossip. It goes with them and it's there. And so this afternoon we come again in the name of Jesus. And we're looking at this subject of false dichotomies, man or my authority. Jesus was a person who understood perfectly. He understood perfectly the question of man and my authority. And while Christ was here as a man, he never stepped out of his own bounds, and he loved his Heavenly Father, and always understood and respected his place as a son. He always understood how he fit into God's program. As you think about Christ and his calling and his work and his reason for coming, if Christ would have failed to fulfill his call, or he would have chafed under his assignment, he would have rebelled against his authority, you and I wouldn't be here tonight, this afternoon. We wouldn't have found salvation through his work on the cross, because the opportunity to be in the family of God would have been ruined because of his rebelling against his authority. And I believe this afternoon that whenever authority is disregarded, there's always some negative effects, negative side effects. And we've seen that probably even in our own lives. Me or my authority. And so we have these two thoughts. We have me as an individual, and we have authority structures. Maybe I'll just try to put something on the board here. On one hand, you have me over here. And no doubt, as you think about your own life, think about your past, whatever your age is, even as boys, you can probably think of a time when you didn't appreciate your authority. Maybe you didn't appreciate something your dad told you or said that you mayn't do, and you just didn't feel good about that. As a teenager, I knew what it was like to just not really accept some things my dad had for me. And I think we can all relate to that. As adults, we know what it's like to lift ourselves up. We want to promote ourselves. It's me, and it's my world, and it's my will. And it seems like all the rest of the world is against us. It's me, and then we have this authority that works against us. I'm not a very good illustrator at all, but and so we have an authority that's over us. It's the triune Godhead. And we have the authority of God, we have the authority of Christ, and the triune Godhead that is over us. We also have the authority of the Scriptures, or the Holy Bible. And those are two authorities that we'll never get away from. You can never
step out from underneath those and find blessing in your life. The authority of God is always there. And so it's a false dichotomy to believe that somehow you can get away from authority, because it will never happen. You have the authority of God, you have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the authority of His Word. In a sense, the authority of your home and your parents is always there either, as well. But you can step away from that, but you will always have the authority of God in your life. And then we have the authority of the church and the authority of the home. And over here to the side is you, and there are some authorities that you will never get away from. There are some authorities that you didn't have a choice in as coming under those authorities. There are other authorities that you can choose. One would be your employer. You can choose him. You can choose who that would be to a greater or lesser extent. And even the authority of the church, we have a choice as to what church authority we will place ourselves under as well. As we go through life, we can chafe under the authorities in our life. We can chafe under the authority of God. We can chafe under the authority of the Bible. And we can step out from the authority of the church, the authority of our home. But we will always have the authority of God over us. And we will never get away from that authority. Never, never, ever. And somehow, in our own minds, as we're growing up in our homes and our parents are authority over us, we could also talk about the authority of the school. I'm not going to look at that this afternoon. But we have that authority that sometimes children, sometimes young people chafe under that authority. And the school teacher, this lesson we had this afternoon, sometimes there's school children that talk bad about their teacher. Because they just don't appreciate it. They want to just, get rid of it. If he would get out of my life, things would be a lot better. And as individuals grow older and they come under the authority of the church, they want to sometimes chafe underneath that. But the authority of the Scriptures and the authority of the Lord Jesus, of God, our Heavenly Father, we will never, ever get away from. God is our creator. He is our sustainer. And he is the one who we will someday need to be accountable to. And so, so as we think about the subject of authority, we're not going to talk about those that are in authority and your responsibility as someone that is vested with authority. Having said that, we must remind ourselves this afternoon that, the shores of time are lined with shipwrecks because of those that were in authority misused that authority. And I believe that's true, and that's sobering. And so those of us that are in authority certainly are accountable as to how we use that assignment. But we're thinking this afternoon about us personally. And all of us here are under authority, every one of us. We are all under authority. None of us are exempt from that. And so, what does God have in mind in this establishment of authority? For a text verse, open your Bibles to 1 Peter 5 and verses 5 through 7. And there are many, many, many verses that could be used as a text. There are many examples throughout the Scripture that we could have looked at. The Bible as a whole is it's God's message to man, it's God's message to us, and the scriptures are full of examples and lessons of authority, and how individuals either accepted that or how they possibly chafed underneath it. Here in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." And so we have this principle that the scriptures bear out, that the younger are to be subject to the older. They are to submit themselves to the older. And it's a principle that we're losing in our society. We've lost in our society, maybe I should say. And I believe that even in the church, it's a principle that is challenged on a fairly forceful front. Youth today are seen as the ones that are more knowledgeable, and they're able to handle, are able to understand technology. They're able to use technology, and it's the older ones that just haven't quite arrived and don't see into things. And today, you know, it used to be, even before my time especially, that, for instance, when someone got a job, they started out at the bottom and they worked themselves up. And today we have this thing sort of flipped, that young people can get a good paying job because they understand technology and they understand and they're educated. And so we have this principle that is challenged today. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. So this afternoon, God has a claim on your life. No matter what age you are, God has a claim on your life. And he owns you by creation. And he's bought you again through the precious blood of Christ. And so we are of divine ownership. I'd like to look at some questions. Number one is, what is authority? It's a simple, I think we all understand, but the power or right to give orders or make decisions, to enforce obedience. A person or organization having power or control in a particular, typically political or administrative sphere. Another question we could ask is, who established or authorized authority as we know it today? You know, sometimes when children, so maybe a brother goes to his sister and says, "Listen, you're supposed to go inside." And what does your sister say? What do they say? Who said? Who told you that? Did your sister ever tell you, ask you that? Well, who said that? What right do you have to tell me to go inside? And then you say, "Well, Mom said it." And then she just wilts and she runs to the house. And, you know, we ask this question, who established or who authorized? And as we get older, we tend to do that as well. Well, does a school teacher have the right to tell me what to do? Does the church leader have the right to tell me what to do? After all, I'm 18. Does my dad really have the right to say I can't do this? Where did he get his authority? Thank you. Who established or authorized authority as we know it? I already mentioned that God has supreme authority over all that exists, and he's the ultimate authority over all the universe. God is supreme over time and eternity. Time is simply a parenthesis in eternity. And God is supreme over all eternity and over all the universe. God reigns and he presides over all. And so God has supreme authority over every other authority that has ever been established. And he has supreme authority over your life. And he has supreme authority over all authorities that exist. Every person is answerable to God Almighty. And so remember that no matter how disappointed you may be in the authorities in your life, remember that God is over them and He's over you. And sometimes, you know, we've been deceived into thinking in the past that if we can just get out from underneath some authority in our life, some God-ordained authority, life will be better. We'll have freedom. We want to do what we want to do. But God is still there. And so every person is answerable to God Almighty. And God has established every aspect of authority. Parents receive their authority from God Almighty. Adam and Eve were called to multiply and replenish the earth. Abraham is commended for commanding his household after him. He led his household. He directed them. He loved them and he cared for them. And he commanded his household after him. There was authority there. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 4 there says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so, as parents today, you are called to be an authority in your home and an authority to your children. You are over them. You are giving them direction. And I don't know when that command ends, children, obey your parents. Of course, it changes roles as children move out and as they start a home of their own. But finally, parents are always there for advice and always there to answer questions. There's still that certain realm of authority. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the way God intended it to be. And it's the way, and you as a parent are called to nurture them and bring them up in the ways of the Lord. It seems like some parents maybe, well, I should say this way, that I believe that as parents, all of us, if you've had teenagers and you've had children go on and find marriage partners, as children find their way through their teen years, there's always that question and that balance of giving direction and, you know, when do you stop saying no and when do you let them decide everything and giving advice and letting them make some mistakes for their own and letting them make some decisions that were right decisions, and they're pleased about that. Finding the balance in that is a question every parent faces. But it seems like sometimes there are parents that children get to be 15, 16 years old, and somehow they feel like they've just lost their authority. And children get to that age and they need to make their decisions themselves. And as parents, we need to take our responsibility. God has vested authority in your life and in your role as a parent. And you've received that authority from God Almighty, and you will be accountable as to how you use that authority. Church leaders receive their authority from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. He is the chief cornerstone. In Matthew chapter 16, and you know where I'm going with this verse. This is a familiar verse where Jesus told Peter that he's going to give him the keys. Matthew 16 and verse 13, they came to Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And so Jesus said it was upon this confession that he would build his church. It was upon the confession that Peter made that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's under the banner, as it were, of that confession, of that declaration, that the church is given authority to move on and to pick up the and take up the work that Christ began here. And so the church down through the ages has operated under the direction of Christ and his direction and his leadership. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the divine example for the church to follow. And we looked at a few thoughts from the Sermon on the Mount this morning. And there in that sermon, Jesus outlined a number of practical ways in which we are to conduct our lives today, and areas in which we put our trust and our confidence in him. And so the church today receives its badge, as it were, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Keys speak of the transfer of authority and responsibility. You know, when some of you boys might remember the first time your dad gave you the keys to the pickup and said, I want you to take the pickup down that back to field lane. And it was fun. I mean, driving a pickup for the first time is exhilarating. I know what it feels like. I still remember that. And he hands you those keys, or maybe the keys were hanging. Probably out here nobody pulls keys. We didn't when I was on the farm. But when Dad says, hey, go get the pickup, and you take it out to the down the field lane to pick something up, and you get in that pickup and you drive down, he gave you permission. He gave you authority. He passed that on. You were a legal driver of that vehicle. He authorized you to do it. And so keys represent passing on authority. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that he was to build. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. There again we have that thought of the kingdom of heaven. It's not merely a kingdom on earth, but it's a kingdom of heaven. And we could look at the parameters that Christ outlined there. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, or whatsoever thou mayest bind, whatsoever the church is authorized to bind under the direction of the Lord Jesus and according to the authority of the Scriptures. And so as a church today, we have a responsibility and a calling and an authorization to carry on the work of Christ, to conduct the church in a way that Christ can bless. The church is not a mere institution derived of man's ingenuity, but it's a spiritual brotherhood of believers that work together, operate together, worship together, carry out the ordinances together, and evangelize together here in this world below. Brother Keith gave an invitation for New York City, and I, for one, will, along with many others, will be very disappointed if we can't get enough people to go. It's part of the mandate of the church. That's sort of a sideline thought. But under the authorization of the church, we are called to go and evangelize. And we can be over here, and we want to do our own thing. But you know, there's a call and a claim that God has on our life that he's calling us to go, and we need to heed that call. In our work at Shepherd's Fold, I'm sit on that board, and just this week we had a young man that gave a positive response to being a counselor there, and I was talking to our chairman just yesterday, and he said, let me tell you the story. He said, I called this young man. He was from another church group. He didn't know this young man at all, but he said, I called him up, and we had a referral for him. His minister gave a good, and his dad gave a good word for him. And so when he was called, he right away said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, last Sunday in church, when the minister was having his closing prayer after the sermon, he said there was, I don't know what the sermon was about, but it had something to do with the call of God. And he said in that prayer, he said, I had this overwhelming feeling that there's a call that's coming my way. And he said, I had no idea what it was. And 2 days later, he had a call from our chairman. He was a man who was opening up his heart. His heart was open to God and his call in his life, his authority in his life, and he is looking positively at answering that call. And so the church is not a mere institution derived of man's ingenuity. But there on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down from heaven and sat upon them. And so the church is a heavenly organization established on earth as a brotherhood of believers in whom the Spirit dwells, and they serve under the direction of Christ himself. And then we have the organization of the state and the national governments, and God has vested them with authority as well. Now I'd like to just ask this question. Why authority? Why authority? I have this feeling that there's maybe some of you when you saw this program and saw this subject of me and my authority and said, oh no. Sunday afternoon, listening to a subject like this, what are we going to hear? This sounds boring. It sounds like, well, maybe you thought your toes will get stepped on. And I don't know if they will or not. I'll let that up to the Lord. But you know, there's something about authority that we just kind of, our human nature just kind of chafes under, doesn't it? Authority. Someone giving us direction. And I thought about this question because so often when we think about the challenges of authority, we think about youth, don't we? And it seems like, and it's probably true, that youth need to find their way. And they're, you know, if you're a youth today, you're able to make more decisions on your own. And there's something, it feels good to do that. And we like that independence. And we like to make our own decisions. And that's the way God made you. It's perfectly normal. It's just all right. But one of the challenges, one of the proofs of maturity is when you can learn to accept direction and guidance. And all of us, no matter what our age is, we just sort of chafe under that authority in life. We're born that way. It's part of our human nature. And so why authority? Why did God establish these roles of authority? Consider the first family. There was Adam and Eve, and they were the first family. God had placed them in the Garden of Eden. It was beautiful. Everything was perfect. And even in that perfect situation, Adam and Eve, they rebelled against God, didn't they? They just blatantly did the opposite of what God told them to do. And God had established the garden for their, had created the garden for their good, for their enjoyment. He created it for their pleasure and for their blessing. And yet they took their own way. Cain and Abel were the first two young men that were born into their home. And we know the story of Cain and Abel. There again, God was the authority in their life. What did Cain do? He rebelled against the authority that God had established. Abel accepted it, and it was a blessing to him. God asked Cain the question. He said, if thou doest well, wilt thou be blessed? I don't have the exact words. But Cain could have found blessing under the authority of God as his father and his direction, but he chafed underneath that. He rebelled against it and took his own way. What was God's intent? Was it not blessing in their lives? And so God established the authority of the home so that they would find blessing. He established the authority, established the roles of worship, and in order for it to be a blessing to them. The proverb writer pled with his son to hear and to heed his advice. And his advice was the proverb writer simply trying to exert his authority and show his son who's boss? No. He had a burden for him. And as his son listened and heeded to his advice, it would bring blessing to him. It would bring safety to him. It would spare him from much heartache and pain. And so in all the realms of authority that God has established, God has designed it for our protection and for our blessing. Think about the authority of God. In our text verse here, and I read that verse for this reason. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God is an authority in our life. He wants to be over you. He wants to be your protector. And he wants you to trust him. Proverbs says, calls us to trust in him with all our heart and lean not onto our own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Recognize his authority in your life. Because he wants it to be a safety and a blessing to you. He wants you to find protection and security in this world of turmoil and darkness. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And in order to do that, in order to find that care under the wings of God, we need to trust him and we need to accept his authority in our life. Along with that, we need to accept him as sovereign. And accept the path that he has chosen for us to trod and to follow. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The word of God is an authority in our life as well. In our little decree booklet, we have the Confession of Faith, which is the Garden City Confession of Faith. And of the word of God, we say this: we believe in the plenary and verbal inspiration of the Bible as the word of God. That it is authentic in its matter, it is authoritative in its counsels, inerrant in the original writings, and the only infallible rule of faith and practice. It has an authority in our life, and it has authority in our churches, and it has an authority in our administrations, and it is the only infallible rule for our life. The Word of God, the Scriptures, they are a light to our pathway. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we have an interesting verse here. This is the next verse that I was want to look at is what I was referring to. But this is the verse: the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so the word of God is an authority in our life, has the ability to help us with discernment and help us with understanding ourselves. And the word of God helps us to understand our path and God's will in our life. Romans chapter 3 and verse 12 talks about light. It talks here about the armor of light. Well, I have the wrong reference written down here. And I should know that by memory. But there's a verse in, I believe it's Romans, that talks about the armor of light. And light, God's word is a light to our path. And it's a light that goes before us. And the opening up our hearts and our lives to God's authority provides an armor of light and a protection for us as we go through life. God's word needs to be an authority
to us. And so when we read God's Word,
when we open His Word in the morning and read it, the inspiration that comes, the calls that come through the Word of God are an authority to us. It's not just like reading another inspirational book. The Bible is different. It's God's living Word. And it's the Word of God that gives direction to us. And God has a claim in our life. And we are called to follow the direction that He sends to us and the light that He sheds on our path through His Word. And we also have the organization of the church. And Christ gave the keys, handed over those keys, as it were. If you think about the institutional structures down through time, first of all, you had the home. Adam and Eve, God established them as a home and as a family. And then you had the patriarchal structure, as it were. And Abraham, for instance, he guided his household and he had his servants and he was a patriarch. He was as a priest to his family. And then you had the national institutional structure where God was represented in the world through His people as a nation. And then Jesus came, and we looked at that a bit this morning, and the apostles, through the work of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the church age was established. And the church was now in the world, but not of the world. You see, the God's people as a nation, they were in the world. They related like other nations did. They conquered other nations. They excelled and conquered land. And they operated as a nation. But now the church, the keys to this kingdom in the church age, they were in the world, but not of the world. And so as a church today, we are a brotherhood. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, and if you're not turning there, that's fine, but just listen. And I want us to think about the intent of authority. Instead of thinking of authority as a negative thing and something that is restrictive, God intends that authority would be a blessing and a security in our life. And so He provides divine security. The Scriptures provide guidance and shed light on our pathway. And here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, or like children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, children are easily influenced, and they believe everything they hear. Small children believe everything they hear. When their older brother tells a younger brother something far out, and did you ever see an older brother? You know, your younger brother believed what you said, and you just kind of laughed and said, "Ah, you actually believed that?" Well, of course he believed it, because that's just the way children are. That's how they learn. And they expect that what they are told is truth and is right. And he says here that we need the church. God has designed the church. He's designed the structure of the church and those that serve in the church to help us, that we don't have to be children anymore, that we can grow into maturity. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And we could spend time in these verses, but just look at the words that, the positive words to edification.
And that's the purpose of the brotherhood, the purpose of the church, is to edify one another so that we can grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And the same is true of the home as well. And we looked at that some already. But God intends that the authority of these structures would be for our blessing and for our good and for our encouragement and for our safety. In the world in which we're living in today, there are many, many, many deterrents toward being subject to authority. And we live in a world where, well, Brother Edwin told us this morning and reminded us and taught us that this old world is getting worse and worse, and it's not going to get better. And and in the whole realm of authority to government, authority to parents, authority to the church, authority to every aspect of authority is being challenged today. And no one is standing up and reproving it. And that's the kind of age, that's the context in which we are living today. That's the context in which you young people are growing up. And the scriptures hold forth a different standard of being subject unto to the authorities that God has established. It's a book that I picked up some time ago, written by Alan Pettigny, and it's The Permissive Society of America from 1941 to 1965. And I don't know that he's a religious man at all, but some of the things that he shares in here are rather eye-opening. And he even addresses the religious, some of the popular religious thought that was prevalent in those years. One of the things that he endeavors to argue for is that many people believe that the 1960s were a fast decay in morals and such like in America, and he simply is endeavoring to point out that the things that happened after World War II and in the 50s was ushering in this age of moral decay and permissiveness. He says this: just how did the rising expectations contribute to a permissive turn or a more secularized frame of mind? The answer lies in the attitudes they fostered and the values they cultivated. Rising expectations and the rejection of austerity encouraged increasing numbers of people to embrace a materialistic outlook that stressed securing life's pleasures in the here and now. Reinforcing this development was a consumerist ethos that encouraged Americans to yield to the influence of the popular culture, notice this, and in so doing, take less of their cues from their neighbors and family. And their neighbors and their family in that era of time were largely church-going people. Maybe a little different context than we're used to today. But people became more independent. And they were influenced by this movement that was happening around them. And they took less of their cues from their neighbors and their family. He also says here that thus the stage was set for a permissive turn, a phenomenon that pushed back the many constraints arising out of a more restrictive, more conservative, religiously oriented past, and by doing so, accelerated a pattern of liberalization that had been on the march for at least half a century. And there's just a number of things in this book that just illustrate the decay, the moral decay. And he talks about one of the main things that he attributes to
the permissive society during those years was that America and religious people open up their hearts to psychology. And rather than the church giving direction, rather than the scriptures being authoritative in people's lives, they went to psychology. And there's just a number of things we could look at there. As there was a shift in, tremendous shift in public thought and concepts in the last 50 or 60 years. And so where we are today is a tremendous pressure against having a biblical concept of authority and appreciating authority in our lives. And then we have our own natural tendency to honor ourselves. And, you know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says this. Proverbs 20 and verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" And that's just the kind of people we are. That's our human nature, is to promote ourselves and to promote our own goodness. And so, naturally, we tend to honor ourselves. And it's a pressure that we face individually in this challenge of accepting authority and appreciating authority and allowing it to bless our lives the way God intended. And so these pressures are very real. In closing, just a few thoughts. You know, Satan wants to destroy every blessing that God has designed. And God designed authority to be a blessing and a contribution in our lives. And Satan wants to destroy every blessing that God has designed. He wants us to believe that we're better off without God's plan. And we're better off, we'll find happiness apart from God's order of authority and God's restrictions, as it were, as man tends to look at them. We live in a day and age where young people today and even older folks are promoting the idea that everyone is allowed to do what they want. And that any kind of law and any kind of restrictive thought is hindering the develop of mankind. There's a young man that's in one of our churches that never became a Christian, and in the last few months he found himself a girlfriend in their community. And this young lady tells him that there is no one that has any right to tell him what to do. His parents don't have a right to tell him what to do. The church is just a cult. Any conservative religious establishment is a cult. And you need to free yourself from all of that. And no one has the right to tell you what to do. And those are concepts and those are thoughts that are being promoted in our society today. And it's only going to lead to one place. It's going to lead to the destruction of our communities and the destruction of a nation. Our world is blatantly resisting authority. And even in the church and in the Anabaptist community, I think that sometimes we see this thought and this emphasis of what I call conditional loyalty. That, you know, if a father doesn't handle a situation quite right, you know what happens sometimes? A rebellious youth finds support even in his church sometimes and in his community, and it's unfortunate. Or if a husband isn't treating his wife properly, and there's no excuse for that. I'm not promoting that. I'm not condoning that. But somehow we have this conditional loyalty thought that if someone in authority isn't using his authority correctly, that allows people to step out from under God-ordained authority and do their own thing. And it's a false concept. The scriptures do not bear that out at all. Another question that we could look at that is worthy of consideration is the question of, is there ever a place for going against authority? Is there ever a place for that? And I say that there is. Thanks for answering the question. There are right ways to go about and follow God's leading and stay close to the Lord as you find your way in life. Respect those that are in authority over you, even if there is a conflict of interest. The scriptures teach us that we need to entreat an elder as a father, and I believe that there are ways to work through the differences of thought among those that are over us in authority and do it in a way that God can bless. Me and my authority. Well, let's not succumb to the influence of the world and believe that we are an individual that can step away from God-ordained authority in our life and find blessing, because it'll never happen. We will only find blessing in life as we come under the authority that God has established and find our place there and subject ourselves to the realms in which God has called us to serve and to live. May God help us to first of all find our place in God's authority and find our place under the authority of His Word and in His church. And may we be churches that are vibrant and our lights are shining for Him in this dark world. When we get confused and we get tangled up in these authority questions and our witness is finally really distracted, and much is lost for the kingdom of God. So may God help us to be faithful in being subject to each other and learning from each other and yielding our lives to the blessings that God has for us. May God bless you.